A tuna product has been...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got to apologize to my engineer, Dan Northcraft. I was distracting him with a bunch of blather, and the poor guy got confused at the beginning of the show. And that's my fault, Dan. I'm sorry. Because I didn't... You don't have to apologize. I didn't hear our bumper music. What I did hear was a woman talking about tuna products. And I thought, well, that's fine with me. You know, we can... kick off with that. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and we're on 120 radio stations across the United States, so we're intergalactic, we're global, we're national. Anything you need, we got it. Stick with us here for the next few hours. Going to talk about, we're a news talk and information show that goes places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And when we say that, we are very earnest, because all you have to do is ask them, and they'll tell you, "Oh, you mean Phil Hendry? Yeah, that's that. I can't do that." All right, so 877-876-PHIL. Pastor William Renick is going to join us. The pastor is joining us for a couple of reasons, but the most notable is that he ran into a little bit of the same hot water that Hillary Rosen ran into over the weekend when Hillary Rosen, who is a Democratic strategist, analyst, said that Ann Romney, the wife of Mitt Romney, had never worked a day in her life. And she was forced to apologize for saying that. Ann Romney has raised five children, I think. Five. Or, I don't know how many children the Romneys have, but she's raised a number of kids. And has everything that goes along with that, you know, as well as being a spouse, as well as being the de facto head of the household when dad isn't home, as well as all of the things that stay-at-home moms do. Hillary Rosen's comment, she hasn't worked a day in her life, did not sit well, and she did have to apologize. So, Pastor Renick, welcome to the show.
Yes, Phil, I'm very grateful to be with you. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Did you pretty much echoed this?
Yes, I did, and again, I would humble myself and try to explain what I meant by that. But when I heard that Hillary Rosen, who was a longtime supporter of President Obama, had made the statements that she made, I felt they were very sensible statements. I thought that there was nothing wrong with those statements, but I was looking at that through my own personal prism, you know. And
What when you first heard her say that and you agreed with it, Ann Romney's never worked a day in her life. When you first heard that and you first agreed with that, what were you exactly thinking in terms of, you knew she was a mother.
No, let me explain what went into my thinking, and you need to understand that when a woman is a stay-at-home mom, and she is someone who does not have a traditional job, you know, you say, well, look, does she work? Well, not in the traditional sense that you and I say someone works. She does not work at a job the way the head of a household, I think she said, will work at a job. She is at home. And
would you say that she's working?
Hold on. Let me explain. I would say that, what she does is honorable. It is necessary. We honor our mothers and our wives. We honor the women of the world that have chosen to make that their life's work. God bless them. And God bless the great work they do when they raise those children right. And my goodness, I would be the first person in line to shake their hand and congratulate them on Mother's Day and what have you. So I'm not denigrating that work at all.
But is it work?
Let me explain. In the sense that it is work, as Hillary Rosen was saying, that Ann Romney never worked a day in her life. Well, she really hasn't worked a day in her life, because when you talk about a job... Well, you've got a job, and believe me, I've had jobs in my life, all kinds of jobs. There's one thing you've got. You have a man or a woman standing over you, looking on your day, looking on your work, and saying, all right, now you take your lunch break now, you take your coffee break now. You've got somebody standing there to make sure you're doing it right. You got someone who, at any given moment, come up to you and say, you don't have a job anymore. You see? You got.
Let me say.
Hold on. You got someone. Hold on. I just want to say this. You got someone. You understand what I'm saying, Phil? You got someone that's going to say you may not be working tomorrow. Now, you know what that is.
Well, yeah.
No job. You're fired. Now, no woman that's working in a house with the babies and so forth, there's no woman got to deal with that. No woman got to deal with a man standing there looking over her shoulder and saying, you know, what are you doing there? Why are you washing dishes that way? Why are you diaping the baby that way? Why don't you get oil and the gas in the car now? Why are you going to the supermarket now? Why don't you go and get, and on and on and on. No woman got to deal with that. If we're talking about a traditional homemaker.
Well, I mean, you know.
What?
Well, I mean, she's got a husband coming home.
Well, she's got a husband coming home at the end of the day. But by the end of the day, the work's done. So what's he going to do about it? What's he going to do about it? See, the woman that stays at home has got it way better than a woman at work. And again, I'm not running it down. I'm just saying, when a man comes home and says, you didn't do this, what's he going to do about it now? A woman look at him like, my wife, and I love my wife. When my wife, I get home to Clara. My wife, Clara, is a stay-at-home mom. And we had one son, and my son went to a theological college and is pursuing his ministry, is pursuing his doctorate, and eventually pursue his ministry. Now, she had one boy to raise.
Mm-hmm.
I come home at night, I said, how come this? And she said, well, guess what? It's all done. What are you going to say about it? I can't go back and do it again. I can't go back and change it. So either you got to live with it or do it yourself. That's what a lot of American men have to deal with. That's what you don't understand. A lot of American men got to deal with that.
Well, all right. Pastor William Renick is our guest. We're talking about Ann Romney and the statements by Hillary Rosen, the Democratic strategist, analyst, whatever, that Ann Romney has not done a day of work in her life. Now, you said something that was significant there. You said what a stay-at-home mom does is work, but it's not as hard.
No, I don't mean it that way.
Well, you said it's not as difficult a job, and it's in fact easier because she doesn't have, excuse me, she does not have someone standing there.
Yeah, she doesn't have, she's not got a line foreman standing there. She's not got a job supervisor standing there. She's not got the boss man, as we used to say, you know, when I worked in a construction. All these kinds of people that you have to deal with when you've got a real job. A real job. When I get home at night, when Claire and I were raising Dwayne, and he was a little boy, and I'd come home, I'd say, she said, yeah, you know, what do you, this, she said, you got nothing to say about it now. You got nothing to say, I've already done it, you know. And I would say to her, you don't have a real job. And boy, she get angry with me. So I think what we've done is we kept quiet about this.
Well, it sounds a little bit. It sounds like you might be missing something.
Well, what? No, hold on, Phil. I'm not missing anything. But the problem is that you're missing something, and that's what a lot of people don't get. It's not that Ann Romney is not doing a great job. It's that Ann Romney is not the work she does ain't as tough as what a regular woman has got to do.
Well, all right, so there you're going back to that again, that it's not as tough.
But it's not, you know. You're
saying it's not as difficult. All of the things involved in raising a kid.
Why we keep saying raising a kid? What if you got no kid? What if the woman is a stay-at-home mom, she got no kid?
Well, I don't think we're talking about that. Look at Ann Romney.
Why are we talking about it?
Because Ann Romney does have children. I don't think anybody, when say stay-at-home mom, what does that say to you?
It says she's a stay-at-home mom, you know.
Well, you got to be a mom. You got to have kids.
No, it's a term that people use. It's got nothing to do with kids. It's just a term.
You're telling me a woman with no children who stays at home and doesn't work in a job is a stay-at-home mom anyway?
I'm telling you it's just a term that you use. What I'm trying to tell you, the bigger picture is this, Bill. The bigger picture is this. Ann Romney, look, are you going to tell me that a woman that goes to work as a waitress, a woman at bussing table and getting breakfast and all that, you know, like a woman, you go into any coffee shop and you see a woman there and she's getting a job done. You tell me that job is easier? Are you?
No, I'm not saying it's easier. I'm not claiming. I'm saying it's a job like being a stay-at-home mom is a job. And
no, that's just it. Because there's a fundamental difference between what a woman who actually goes out and does a real job. And Claire and I would get into arguments with it. I don't say this to her anymore. But Claire and I would say, you go out and get a real job. You know, go out and get the... Man, she get very angry.
Well, a lot of women are getting angry at that. You know, for years and years, that was the complaint. And a lot of women finally got tired of hearing it. And
well, look, like I said, if you are staying at home, you stay at home, Mom, you don't have a supervisor. You don't punch in the clock. And when the man comes home at the end of the day, you can say, well, a man's the boss. Well, I got news for you. Man may be the boss, but when he gets home and he says, well, what about this? She said, well, guess what? I did it this way and I did it that way. You don't like it? Do it yourself. I used to get that all the time. You don't like that? You don't like what I did here? You don't like the food? Here, put on the apron, put on a dress, go out and be the mom. So, you know, that's not what I call, it's a job, but it's not qualified as a job the way Ann Romney think it do.
And, all right, Pastor, I need to...
Just one more thing, Phil. Again, it's not disrespect to Ann Romney. I'm just simply trying to say to her and women like her, God bless you, and God bless the work you do. I wish that you understood that while you do that work, it's not quite as different. It's not the same. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not the same.
Because they don't have a boss, and they don't have...
They don't have a boss. They're not punching the clock. There's so many different things about that job.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Put the Pastor Renick is... we'll just put him on hold there. As we talk with Pastor William Renick about the comments of Hillary Rosen that Ann Romney does not have a real job. She's a mother. She raised a bunch of kids. She did all the things that stay-at-home moms do. But guess what? She's didn't really have a real job. And Pastor William Renick agrees. Stay-at-home moms, they aren't punching a clock. They don't have a supervisor there. They don't have anybody second-guessing them. So let's get some more from the pastor and your phone calls, too, at 877-876-PHIL. The real, what was I going to say? I was going to call myself the real Don Steele. That's wrong. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I knew the real Don Steele.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here with Phil Henry. We also have on the line with us Pastor William Renick, and we're talking about Ann Romney and the comments made by Hillary Rosen. What is a real job? Are moms real? Are they doing real jobs? Hillary Rosen with the Democratic Party said, no, that's not a real job. Now, you know she's apologized.
I understand it, yes.
She's apologized, and she said, I didn't mean to say what I said. And
I think, Phil, in that case, you've got to apologize because that was a very, very destructive thing to say if you don't explain yourself. And she didn't explain herself very well. She made this comment that sounded stupid, and it was too late to explain. It was too late to say, here's what I mean. What I would have said was Ann Romney had a job that is a different from the other jobs that people have. She has a job where she don't have a supervisor, nobody telling her when to take a coffee break, nobody telling her when to do anything. So how do you know what it's like to have a job if you are standing there, and I'm not saying Ann Romney did this, but you're just standing around doing nothing, you know. And at the end of the day, you say, well, hell, I had a very difficult day today. And if Mitt Romney come home and he said, what did you do today, Ann? She said, I did this or that. But meanwhile, she's sitting around watching on the TV. What do? A lot of women want the soap opera and so forth.
Well, that just doesn't sound like any responsible mother, you know.
I understand that, but there are some days you're going to work harder than others. Some days you're going to work harder than others.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got Pastor William Renick on the line. This is Jackie. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hi, hi, Pastor, and hi.
How are you, Jackie? How
are you doing? Great, thank you. Just wanted to call in really quick because I'm driving home. I want to stay awake because I'm a night worker, so I appreciate you guys being on the line.
Yeah, now, see, you got a job there. That's a job.
Oh, yes, I do. But I did comment on the as far as being a stay-at-home mom, being a job and everything. I don't think that necessarily just because you don't have a supervisor, you're not, you know, having a job. If some people work for themselves, and sometimes you're your own worst critic. So I work for myself. I'm my own boss. So I don't have to answer to anyone. If I make a mistake, it's my business.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I mean. So you don't really know what it's like to have the man standing there and saying, listen, you just messed that up. You do it one more time, you're gonna lose your job. See, what's it like if you're a stay-at-home mom? Nobody gonna come up to you and say you're fired.
Well, the baby is the ultimate judge, of course, and babies are the ultimate tyrant. So they're the one you have to answer to, and some mothers answer properly to that tyrant and others don't. But one thing that she does have that other stay-at-home moms do not have is that monetary cushion. You know, I mean, like, I know what it's like to take, I don't have a baby, but I made that responsible choice for a reason, because I can't afford a baby. I went ahead and got a dog instead, and I have a special needs dog, as it turns out. So I work plenty hard. I work way harder than most parents that I know, because I give my dog more than most parents to their children.
No, hold on for a minute, because I gotta get this straight in my head. You say you are working, you're not stay at home. Is that correct? You don't stay at home.
I work part-time and I stay at home with my dog. I work part-time.
Well, see, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, because it's a dog, you know.
Yes, but Pastor Renick...
Hold on for just a minute. It wouldn't qualify. But here, let's say...
Why wouldn't that qualify? She loves that animal. Many people love their animals very, very much. You know, it's a special...
I don't mean to make a joke. You say a special needs dog. What is it, dyslexic? And I'm making a joke, and I shouldn't say that.
There's no time in this show for me to describe all of the needs that this dog has, but trust me, it's special.
Is he like developmentally disabled? Has he got like a retard? I shouldn't say that.
Let's not use the word retard.
I apologize. I'm very sorry. I was trying to make a bad joke.
It's okay.
Is the dog a retard?
The time. It's more than a newborn. Okay.
Let me move this along, Jackie. It's Phil. Let me move this along for both you and the pastor. I understand what you're saying. She's working. Okay. You, the pastor, are saying that she doesn't have. If you're a stay at home, you don't have a supervisor.
She said the baby is the ultimate tyrant. Now, God bless you, ma'am, for your attitude. But you know that there are women who, if they get too tired, they pick that baby up and just throw it off a bridge. You know,
we're not talking about a criminal.
No, we're not talking about criminal, but that is an option for some women.
That's a criminal act.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it is an option.
What do you mean it's an option?
I mean, the baby is not going to fire you. The baby is going to say, hey, you do a bad job. You say, guess what? If I shut you up, you can't tell me that no more.
Then she goes to jail.
No. There's a policeman in every house in this country yet. Of course, we're on our way to the police state. But the fact
of course,
that mothers these days do not have the monetary financial cushion that Ann Romney had. I of course, couldn't afford a baby, so I made a responsible decision to not have one, so I wouldn't have to raise a child in poverty like most of the people just go ahead and do.
Exactly. What you did, that was a good decision, because what you said is, I do not want to be faced with a decision someday where I'm going to have to take that baby and just say, I can't do this anymore, and lift that child up over your head, if you can imagine this. Lift that child up over your head and throw it off a bridge like you're tossing a soccer ball.
Never.
Well, that's a criminal act that I can't even conceive of. Listen, thank you very much, Jackie. Drive carefully, dear. Keep listening to us. We'll keep you awake. Thank you for your comment. I think we have time for Lawrence. Where is Lawrence anyway? Lawrence is here on line 9. Lawrence, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor Renick. I probably don't have Lawrence there. I think I went to the wrong number. Lawrence, is that you? Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that Pastor Renick is right on time. The other lady, she inspired me to just got off the phone. She inspired me to speak on something that she just said before I make my primary comment. If she's working for herself, again, you know, if she feels that she don't want to finish the day, she got that option to do that. She can sack out, go home, or whatever.
Right. That's right. That's working part-time.
Right. Now, to my primary comment, as an example, let's take FedEx Hub. You know, those people go out there, they're working in the cold because those packages have to be in a month, a certain temperature. They're wearing, they're having to wear overalls, coveralls. They got a time schedule, and they've got these rap.
Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
FedEx as an example. You know, they got the rap agents that stand over the unloaders. And, you know, they got a time schedule. That plane, those planes got to hit the ground, beat it right up, and gone at a certain time. Now.
All right, we've got to take a break. Got to take a break, Lawrence. Hold on. I'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-866-PHIL.
What are you talking about? He's talking about Santa's little helpers?
No, he's not. Turn him down.
Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with me is Pastor William Rennick as we continue talking about Ann Romney, whether or fact she has a real job, when she was criticized as not having a real job. And, of course, that lady did apologize, Pastor Rennick.
Hillary Rosen apologized, and I think what she needed to do was clarify.
So she should not have apologized.
I don't think she needed to apologize so much as clarify. That's what she needed. Sometimes an apology needed, sometimes a clarification. Now, when I say that Ann Romney doesn't have a real job, no, she hasn't got a real job. I don't even think Ann Romney would tell you she's got a real job. That's not the point. That's not the point. It's not about whether she got a real job or not. It's whether or not she's working. Is there actual work being done that anyone, outside of herself and her husband, that anybody's going to care about? What kind of work is Ann Romney doing for you? What kind of work is Ann Romney doing for me? Now, is she working at a business? She's doing something for someone other than her own family. She's feeding a truck driver. The truck driver get on the road. The truck driver delivers goods to a port or to a place, a destination. Those goods go out to a business. And maybe you shop in that business, or maybe somebody shops in that business whose business you visit. But somehow that reverberates out. But Ann Romney and a great many women that are stay-at-home moms, God bless them, but they're not doing anything for you. They're not doing nothing for me. They're sitting there, and they raise a kid, and at the end of the day, the husband comes along and says, well, look, you did a great job. Thank you. Okay. Well, what's that? It just stays there. See, it doesn't go out.
Well, it can be argued that that person eventually will become a human being and go into the world.
Well, but that's 20 years down the road. Right now, she's sitting there and having herself, with a baby. So she's playing with a baby.
And well, not playing with it.
Not playing with a baby, but she's got this baby, and baby is a baby. You know, how tough is a baby? Yes, I know the baby's got to be diapered up. You got to feed it. You got to clean it up. And one thing I remember about my son, babies are filthy. You got to clean it. It's not a pleasant job to have to clean a baby. That is not a pleasant job at all. And that would be one area of being a stay-at-home mom, and I'd say, my sympathy is with the women, is to clean a baby up, because I've done that when, Claire was working, and we didn't have all that much money. I've done that, and it is a very, very, it's a tough job to do, to clean some kid up that does not yet know how to use a toilet, and instead is essentially relieving itself into its clothes. That's a difficult job to have to take care of a human like that.
All right, let me get back. Lawrence was hanging on, and then we have a couple of other calls, so I want to get through these as quickly as I can. Okay, Lawrence, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, first of all, you got the right guest on the radio tonight. I tell you that.
Thank you.
You got the right guest. And now, as my final comment,
you know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm saying. Have you ever had a baby, sir? You ever had a baby? You're free. You know that this is the only human being on earth that is told it's all right to relieve yourself into a full suit of clothes.
You're right about that, Rev. In my final comment, you're absolutely right about that. But in my final comment, as an example, just say that Ms. Romney is working diligently at home, scrubbing the floors, waxing the floors, and she gets a little aching of that. She can stop right when she wants to, take her a couple of Tylenols or leaves or whatever, and she can kick back on the couch and relax. But a woman that's out there that's working, She don't have that luxury. So, I mean, the Reverend don't
that's
have
exactly right.
But I love what you're saying, Reverend.
Can I just say one thing to you, Lawrence, before you go? What about the guy that said, if you're self-employed, you're right. You can do all those things, but as a self-employed person, it's going to suffer. Look, if a baby is screaming for supper.
No, we're not talking about a baby. The gentleman's bringing up the house. Exactly. Cleaning up a floor and this kind of thing. You can say, I don't want to do that today. And
all right, I'll let you go, Lawrence. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
You let this man go because he's agreeing with me. But the baby is, baby, you always have a choice. And God forgive what I'm about to say, Phil, but even a stay-at-home mom has a choice. And I told you.
You're talking about a criminal, a murderer, taking the baby and...
What?
Taking a baby over your head like a soccer ball and throwing it off a bridge?
Yeah, absolutely, that's a criminal act. There's no question. It's a vicious, depraved act. Nonetheless, stay-at-home mom has a choice to do that or not to do that.
877-876-PHIL, the number. Let me go on to Chris on the line. Go ahead, Chris. You're on a Phil Henry Show.
Hi, guys.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to say that the argument here is kind of interesting, but I really think that a stay-at-home mom is more like a self-employed person. If she doesn't work, if she takes a couple days off because she's not feeling good, then the household starts to fail, just like a business would if she was running it herself. You know, you can't just take time off, think, oh, I'm going to go not do anything, not pay attention to my kids, let all the housework.
Well, sure you can. You can take a time. Your business isn't going to fail if you decide this afternoon I'm going to put off mopping the floor for about 3-4 hours. You can't do that. When you,
something
when
simple
you
like mopping the floor. But what you got to think about is taking care of the stuff at home.
What do you call work? What do you call
let the man finish.
I don't think you understand what I mean by work.
If you're talking about lifting 2x4s around, that's work. But you know what? The stuff that they're working all day at home, you know, a good stay-at-home mom, I'm talking about one that actually does everything, is working all day. They're making sure the house is taken care of. They're taking care of the kids and everything like that. They're doing their duty at home. Sure, can they take that half an hour or something like that and go sit on the couch, watch their soap opera, take an et cetera? And they have that option, but so does a person that runs their own business, and they're successful. You know, the household has
to be Wait. You can be successful or not successful. You can be successful or not successful, depending on a lot of things. But the point is, are you working?
Wait a minute. If you own a business, you're saying you don't work?
I'm saying you ain't out. Well, what do you call work? I'm talking about a woman who's got to take the guff of some truck driver looking at her rear end as she's, you know.
What? No, you're talking about hard labor. Is that what you mean by labor?
I'm saying... A woman standing there working at a cafe, working at a secretarial pool, you know, having to put up with all this. A lady at home, she can say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go sleep. I don't care if the kid starves to death.
No, she's not going to do that. She's not going to say that because she's going to... Yeah, what nobody's going to... That would be like saying, hey, look, a lady that's a...
Why wouldn't she do that?
Why wouldn't a waitress say, you know what, I've had enough of this, I quit?
Exactly. She's not going to get paid. She won't get paid, but the lady at home will still get paid.
Not if she lets the kid starve to death, she won't.
Yeah.
The what? What? What did the man say? I'm hearing from you, Phil. I'm not hearing from this man.
Sorry, I agree with Phil. If somebody quits their job and doesn't go into work, they're not going to get paid. If somebody's at home and they're not doing their job and they let the baby starve, they're going to go to jail. Excuse my language, but they're going to go to jail.
Let's say this. Let's say you let the kid scream for a couple of hours while you're taking a nap, but then you feed it. Okay? See what I'm saying? And by the way, as I said, when you are doing a job, you're benefiting people from outside the business. When you're a stay-at-home mom, ain't nobody getting rich and no one feeling good other than you and your husband. Everybody else is still suffering. And the world is still dragging on. And meanwhile, you're all happy with your kid.
All right, look at
If
I can't,
okay,
if I can offer
break.
The flip side of that. If I can offer the flip side of that.
Yeah, really, really, really quickly, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the flip side of that is that, you know, if you're saying that nobody benefits from it, but people can go out and work and not make the world rich. You know, I work 9 hours a day.
You got kids? Do you have kids?
Yes, I have a son and a daughter on the way.
All right, you got a daughter on the way. Now, your wife's already had to put up with one, and I say put up with, I don't mean she didn't like it. I'm just saying your wife's had to work with one. Now, here come another one. Now she knows, and that kid's going to cry and all this stuff. You're going to be at work. You're going to be doing your thing. Meanwhile, at home, your wife has decided to knock off for the half hour or so and just go ahead and take a nap while that baby went ahead and crapped in her diapers. Now, you can change the diaper out, or you can say, I think I'm going to take that nap and let that kid sit there and stink because I already know that it ain't going to do a problem. That's not going to be a problem. Now, she lets the kid sit there and stink. If you come home at night and you say, you mean to let the baby sit there with a diaper full while you took a nap, and you guys have an argument about that, she keep trying to tell you, no, it's okay. The whole thing's a mess.
Wait a second. What is that about, man? What is that scenario you just painted?
I just got done telling you.
No, you didn't. You're saying she lets the kid crap in her. You're talking about a woman who is negligent. That's what you're talking about.
This man's got a daughter on the way. I'm trying to warn him. That's what I'm trying to do. If I were you, sir, I would tell that wife of yours, you know what, we're going to change a few things around here. Last time you had the kid and you were this and that. Now, I want to, you know, I'm going to put you, I want to run you through the, you know, put you through the obstacle course.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Chris, thank you.
No, he didn't. No problem. Are you hearing me? Are you there, Chris?
I hear you, but I don't agree.
Yeah. You better wake up because she's going to be sitting there sleeping, eating a chocolate, what do they call that, a nougat? Yeah, chocolate nougat or butter. What do you eat, Clara?
Here's the deal.
Yes, you get a chocolate nougat.
Even women can choose to be like that, but so can an employee,
yeah.
So can somebody who works their job. They can choose to be negligent and cause
my
problems.
My wife's telling me right now. She said she had a nougat.
I had chocolate nougat. What's that?
My wife said when she had a kid, she'd sit there and eat the chocolate nougat while a kid's sitting there with a load of dew in its diaper.
But you can't make
okay, well, whatever, yeah.
If I were you, I'd watch out. Keep an eye on that woman of yours. She already had one kid, and that postnatal depression. See, one of the things you don't want to do, Chris, is come home and have your wife holding the head of the kid under.
All right, enough of that, okay? That's absolutely macabre, and that's sick.
Okay, it's sick. It's sick. I'll give you that it's sick. But if this man comes home and sees his...
I'm not going to have that even spoken of. Sorry, Chris.
Hey, no worries.
Good luck with your, and you guys, sounds like you got a beautiful family, and it's going to be fantastic for you. Okay, buddy? Thanks for calling.
Appreciate that, Phil. Thanks.
All right. Okay, bye-bye. He just depressed. I can tell by that young man's voice. Put Pastor Rennick. What are you trying to do?
What am I trying? Hold on, are you talking to me?
You better believe I'm talking to you. What are you trying to do?
Trying to do what?
That man just hung up the phone sounding like he was so depressed.
Hey, let me tell you something, Phil. That young man may thank me someday.
And then again, he may just be going home like, oh, my God, thinking of all these horrid things that can happen to his new baby because you're sitting here running on about what's work, what isn't work.
Am I talking about working at home or not?
You're talking about a woman that stay at home. Okay, I got a break, all right?
Oh, yeah, now you got a break. Now you conveniently got a break. Every time I try to score a point, you got a break.
I'm not trying to. I'm going to let you have your full say on the other side. I have to break. We're late for the break.
I want to make a statement that's very, very important and has a lot to do with this whole stay-at-home situation that you won't let me say. And I said it to that young man. I didn't mean to depress that young man.
Well, I think you did. 877. Boy, I felt so bad for that young guy. He's got a baby on the way. Life is a beautiful thing. Don't worry about it. His name was Chris, right? Okay. 877-876-7445 if you come home and find her pushing the kid's head. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Oh,
the Phil Hendry Show.
And we also are going to have from Daly's Daily, the public radio show, Debbie Daly, checking in just a moment. We have Pastor William Rennick. Is there a TV on, Pastor Rennick?
Yeah, we're watching. She's got on a movie on. What's the name? She's watching MASH. She's watching not MASH. My wife's watching Kelly's Hero.
Well, can you turn it down, please?
You got to turn it down.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Pastor William Rennick here. about, and we're talking to Pastor William Reinick here about Ann Romney and whether this description of her as never having worked a day in her life is an adequate description, given the fact that she is a stay-at-home mom or was a stay-at-home mom and had so many children to raise. Pastor Reinick, you are not denigrating that. You're simply saying it's not work.
It's not work the way you and I understand work, the way people understand work. When we talk about work, the way we conceptualize work, when we're speaking a language to each other, we speak the English language. I say, I've got a job. And the other person, he's got a job. And we speak to people and say, every day I go to my job. Now, people want to put into that mix stay-at-home mom and say, well, I got a job too. What's your job? I'm a stay-at-home mom. Oh, so, and my wife, Clara, who I love very, very much, and one of the reasons I love my wife is she's honest. She's honest. And my wife even said, she said that when she was a stay-at-home mom with Dwayne, who was our son. You were there, right?
I can tell you still that I'd had new good.
Eating candy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. But I would never, ever neglected our son. I never neglected him. I never neglected the things at that point either.
And I'm not saying that you did. We had disagreements, though, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to a phone call. We have Aaron on the line. Aaron, go ahead. You're on with Pastor Reinick.
Hey, Pastor. How's it going?
Fine, sir. Fine.
Okay, I think the problem with your argument is that you continue to try to compare Ann Romney raising at least five
kids,
children,
have you got?
I believe. What's that?
How many kids you got?
I don't have any kids, but that's besides the point.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
that's
how
not,
can
that's
you?
Not a,
well, that's
I'm using observation. Someone who's never, driven an automobile obviously knows that it takes talent to drive an automobile. That's not a good argument. What I'm trying to say is that you're trying to compare Ann Romney, who raised at least five children, to someone who's negligently raising a baby. Now, I will say that if you go to, let's say, my cousin who's risen three kids, and they're twins and a boy, she looks so beaten up every week because she was working so hard. And you know what? She told me she would rather go work a job because it is much easier for her to go to work rather than have to put up with these babies that don't reply to anything. And for
you, here's the thing. She don't have to see what she's doing. Number one, has she ever had a job? Oh, you're going to tell me that she don't need to have a job because you don't need to have, well, you said you don't need to have experience.
I agree with him. You don't need to have experience specifically at something to observe and know. I don't need to be a fireman to know I'm burned.
What?
I said I don't need to be a fireman to know there's a fire and it needs to be put out and it needs water and, you know.
All right, I'll give you that. But your cousin had how many babies?
My cousin, she had three kids.
All right. She chose to have the three because she thought that would be easy street. And she didn't work it the way she should have.
No. Someone who has
five children
doesn't think it'll be easy.
Well, then why'd she have to think you got five
children? Then why did you choose the hard labor job? Then why did you choose the hard labor job?
No. I understand, sir. I understand that she chose. What I'm saying is she chose to have three kids, but she had no idea it was going to be worse than busting tables because that's how it was made. Here's the thing. You got to tell a man when he come home at night, you have to say to him, look, I fed that kid, I wiped its butt, that's all I'm going to do. And when the man starts pushing you around to tell you what to do, you got to tell him to step off. That's what she did not do.
And well, now what you're doing, Pastor, is you're just kind of manipulating the topic.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I'm saying, on the one, it's not really a job. Oh, well, here's where this guy's cousin messed up and she should have done this. Otherwise, it would have been easy.
Yeah, that's like
she made it.
You should have went to college so you didn't have to work such a horrible job.
I've been to college.
Yeah, we're not talking about you, Pastor. You're talking about people who are working outside in these hard, hard jobs. You're a pastor. You don't know what it's like for these people then. Why don't I say that?
I've been out there. I had jobs when I was going to school. Of course I know what it's like, hard labor and so forth.
You're saying that all women never work jobs. You assumed that my cousin, because she's a mother, never worked a job. I said she was a nurse.
How could she possibly work? Well, you just got done telling me she had three babies. How's she going to work a job?
So what do you think? Everybody has babies when they're 20 years old?
Let me ask you a question.
You're saying nobody that went to college and worked never had a baby?
Let me ask you a question, sir. Do you think your cousin's job, your cousin raising those babies would have been easier had she not been sitting on the couch eating a nougat and so on?
You want to ask her? Ask her. If you tell her, if you assume that she's sitting on the couch eating nougats, you are wrong, my friend. You,
well,
I think, have
I
a lot
know.
Of bad experiences with negligent
no,
mothers.
Sir.
That's why you continue
no,
to use
sir.
These horrible arguments.
Well, we do
you
have,
well,
we
problems
do have
with mothers that you got.
We have a lot of women in our church, sir, that have, yes, have had problems. There's no question. We got a lot of women in our church that are unwed mothers, so forth. But, see, you, I understand, but you don't know what your cousin's doing. Is she sitting around eating nougat? And
what is this nougat? What is that? I mean, candy?
Yeah, candy.
What? So you're saying to this guy, well, the job was tough.
I think that a lot of women make the
That's
job
like
a lot
me assuming
tougher
you sit around in a church all day and do nothing.
No, wait a minute. I think a lot of, I ain't sitting here complaining about it. You know, these
Would you like
I
me to stereotype you and say
job.
That you sit around in a church all day and do nothing because you're a pastor?
No, hold on. No, wait. I'm saying that the, women make the job tougher when they sit around and slopping down chili and eating nougat.
Well,
then
you know what? Every house in America is dirtier than holy hell because that's not what's going on.
It might be. It might be.
Well, listen, that was a very good call, though. I appreciate it, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we got a lot more, including Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt getting engaged. Margaret Gray is going to be on to talk about that. And our news and information hour and all kinds of other news. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I had nougat, but I was not disrespectful.
Welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're here each and every night until the aforementioned times. We're online, our video cast every night on philhendryshow.com. So right now we have a live video feed from the El Pacifico studios here where we've had rain and we've had weather, but nothing anywhere near what a great many of you guys have to suffer, especially these months of the year, the springtime. The spring is crazy, and the flooding that is the result of the snowpacks melting, the tornadoes. We get into the hurricane season. You know, I tell you, we've got some bad weather in California, but nothing like it is here. Joining us this hour is going to be Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about that. Later on in the hour, we have Margaret Gray with her update on Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. We also have Debbie Daly from Public Radio to talk a little bit more about the Ann Romney situation. If you want a backstage pass, which will afford you the opportunity to watch our live streaming video cast each and every night, if you'd like to take advantage of our thousands of hours of archived material, if you want to take advantage of commenting on our news feed, if you want to check out the sundry other things we have there for you, including our webisodes, including our video and audio rants, including just a whole potpourri of things, get a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry website at philhendryshow.com. It's a very affordable, it's the best way to spend your money on a subscription site on the internet. All right, Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us here tonight to give us a little background on the weather in the Midwest. The story here, Jay, and, you know, we are just, we don't want anybody to panic or anything, but here's the story is that a severe storm threatens to bring tornadoes to a vast swath of the Midwestern United States, according to forecasters for this weekend. States ranging from Texas to Minnesota have been put on alert, with tornado experts saying storms on Saturday could be a life threatening events. So they've got a situation there.
They do, Phil, and you know, we're going to do everything we can, Citizens Auxiliary Police and certainly the associated auxiliary police agencies in these particular states to help people as much as we can. But I don't think that there should be any panic. I have, along with members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police here and our subcommanders, and, of course, the Gopher Battalion in Minnesota and elsewhere, we have a printed pamphlet, and it's online, our website, for people what to do in the event of a tornado.
Now, you're based in California, and what is your information, and where do you get your information on safety?
Well, what we do is we use a pretty much a common-sense approach to health and safety when it comes to tornadoes.
I think using common sense is what separates our Citizens Auxiliary Police, rules and sort of guidelines, if you will, Phil. It's sort of what separates us, I think, from the average, I guess, safety expert. We've got a track record with the earthquakes here in California. Where they were saying, for instance, Phil, you know, you better get an earthquake kit. Better get an earthquake kit. Well, I'll tell you something, Phil. Right after they said go get an earthquake kit, we haven't had an earthquake that bad. And
you're talking about the Northridge quake.
Yes, exactly. I'm talking about the early 1994 Northridge quake. Everybody went out and got an earthquake kit. Guess what? We haven't had an earthquake like that since. What we said was, take your time. Don't panic. You can put together an earthquake kit, but you don't have to run right out and get it done, because that big earthquake we just had, it stands to reason there's not going to be another big one for a long time.
Now, when you say it stands to reason, what is the science behind that? Because you can't really give people that to go on, can you?
I think you can, Phil, and it is one of the I think, hallmarks of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and what Major Elvis Newton founded our organization on, which was to always use common sense first. Sure, there's a lot of statistics, and there's an awful lot of noise out there. It's what the CIA and people who work in intelligence gathering, and I, without going too much into it, I've had some experience working in that field. We used to call it noise. Noise is just a lot of noise. It's exactly what it is, just noise.
Yeah, but you can't say that. Well, I mean, being, you know what I'm saying, having an earthquake kit, put it together, have it ready, and which I imagine is many of the safety standards, steps that you take for an earthquake, you're going to want to take in some form for tornadoes, although maybe in a different way.
Well, first of all, Phil, I don't want to be funny, but you have a tornado kit, and the tornado hits your house. You don't have a tornado kit.
No, I understand that.
So, you're absolutely right. You have to do a different thing. But, what we're saying is basically this. Don't panic for the tornadoes that are coming that they say, and let me underline that word say, because, again, we're dealing with weathermen. And if you know anything about weathermen, and I know you do, I think we've all had our experience with a weatherman, with all due respect, a lot of these guys just, it's just, there's the bullseye, and it's about the size of a beach ball, and they throw the dart through the door, every time. So,
but aren't we talking about a time?
Just let me finish this thought, and then I do want to feel your question, Phil. The weatherman is a long-standing individual in the mentality of Americans and people all over the planet. The weatherman is someone who is an eternal disappointment, I think, to all of us, a bitter disappointment, because he can say something, and it may not be important to you, it may not be important to me, but it's important to that young lady who's going to stand out there and wait for a bus in the morning to go to her job. And she's standing there in a short skirt, and she's got a tank top on or what have you, and she's got her exposed arm, she's got her sunglasses already, and it dumps a foot of snow on her. Now, that may be funny to you, it may be funny to me, but that's not funny to her. That's what I mean about the weatherman constantly blowing it. On the other hand...
Are you saying that the weatherman's going to be wrong about the tornadoes this weekend?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, don't be surprised, though, if everyone runs out of town, gets away from where they think, okay, and there's no tornado, and you're hundreds of miles away from your home, or you may be 50 miles from you, 70 miles from you, and looters, and these are people, Phil, that we have to keep in mind. Looters are going to, descend on the houses anyway, knowing that people aren't there. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But if looting is going to take place and there is no tornado, and the homeowners are gone, it's going to make a looter is going to have an easier time.
Well, I doubt seriously whether you're going to see looting. First of all, you're talking about a part of the country where, parts of the country which are not that populous. The people there know each other. They protect each other. They take care of each other. I don't think looting
You make a good point, but I'm just saying.
And plus, I don't see looting taking place if there's no tornado.
Yes, but if people have left town in a panic because a weatherman, who I just told you about, is the guy that told that young lady to go ahead and put on a sunglass and a short skirt, and now she's standing out there with a foot of snow on top of her.
I wanted to comment on that, okay?
No, but that's the same guy that says that there's going to be tornadoes this weekend, so you better wash out. And you leave your home, now you got a looter.
Well, that's what I'm... I don't know that that's the case. But here, look at...
Well, Phil, my job is to save lives. I'm the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm not trying to tell you how to be a talk show host. But my job is to save lives. And so what we do is we take a look, we assess the situation, we make our preliminary report, we let the chips fall where it may. If the report is thrown back in our faces, the report's thrown back in our faces. And if what we say comes true, I'm going to walk back into that man's office on Monday morning and say, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you listen to me?
Well, I'm hopeful that you're wrong. We haven't heard your prediction.
Well, I'm saying that if there's no tornadoes, don't be shocked. And I'm saying there are ways of dealing with tornadoes. Like I said, a weatherman is going to say whatever it is that the government wants him to say. You know, because there is an agenda there. There's an agenda there, and the weatherman's going to say whatever the government wants him to say, because they got an agenda. But I'm telling you...
What would the agenda be of a weatherman?
You can laugh if you want, Phil, but they have an agenda. The weatherman wants you to leave your home. The weatherman wants you to do what he wants you to do. If you see a tornado, I can tell you right now, using the common sense steps of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, you can stand in one place, stay right where you are, and there's a very good chance you're going to survive. And you didn't move, you didn't do nothing.
Well, a lot of people have their storm shelters.
That's right. On the other hand, if you stay where you are, you could die. So you got to play the percentages.
All right, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we have him on tonight to talk about the threat of this weather in the Midwest, where they say there will be or could be or possibly, you know, an outbreak of twisters. It possibly an outbreak of twisters given the weather. And Jay is saying that take it all with a grain of salt. The weatherman is the same guy that has blown weather reports before. And I want to get back into it, just talk to him about this whole idea of the safety steps of what they're recommending, one of which is just to stay put. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. The other thing is, whether he's ever been through any tornadoes or not, I don't know. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us talking about the possibility of tornadoes in the Midwest this weekend. And, of course, the question I've got to ask you, Jay, have you, I know you're in California, have you ever been in a tornado?
You're asking me, I can't hear you, Phil.
I can't hear you either. Jay, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, have you ever been in a tornado?
I have never been in a tornado, no. And let me just tell you why that's neither here nor there. I'm sure that it is a frightening experience. I would not for a minute discount the experience of somebody who's been in a tornado. But you don't have to be in a tornado I can tell you this much, Phil. I've seen footage of tornadoes. I've seen a lot of footage of tornadoes. And what I have determined, as well as Major Elvis Newton and others here at the Citizens Auxiliary Police, what we do, is I've determined that the people that have been in tornadoes and have come up with their, you know, plans of attack, I think they're probably going about the wrong way. I don't know why they say what they say.
Well, they've been through it.
I understand they've been through it, but there is a perspective to be had when you are very calmly, when you've been able to assemble the material, as we have, myself and other members of Citizens Auxiliary Police, and very calmly sit down in a conference room and assemble this material, and you've got a monitor, you've got a disc player or a videotape machine, and you're watching it very carefully, and you are looking at people. Some of the tornado footage that I've seen, Phil, is, it would be amusing if it wasn't so, you know, in a lot of ways tragic, but you see people running like a bunch of, you know, a bunch of chickens, you know, with the head, you know, running all over the place, and you're a little bit embarrassed for them.
So what is your advice?
Well, the advice is that if you just stay in one place, just stand there instead of running around where you've got people are going to put you on television tonight, and the last thing anybody's going to see of you is you running back and forth in front of the camera, and then your house is gone, and you're gone. And you look a little silly, and not that that's anything to be concerned with. But what I am saying is this. When you calmly, as we did with Citizens Auxiliary Police, sit down in a conference room and review the videotape footage that we have of tornadoes, what we see, it's very clear to me that all these people just blew it, and the Weather Service blew it, and a lot calmer activities were indicated.
All right, but I mean, I think we should state, for the record, you've never actually been or seen a tornado.
Well, that's not correct, Phil.
No, but you've reviewed a lot of them on videotape. But
well, yes. I have very calmly reviewed a lot of them on videotape, very calmly seen a lot of them on videotape, on disc.
All right, 877-876-7445 with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who says that based upon the CAP's reviewing of tornadoes, there's an awful lot of bad advice being given by safety people. Here is Steve. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Santos, I kind of agree with you in a way. The most important thing people can do when they're facing a potential natural disaster is to evaluate their situation, their structure, then make a decision then. Whenever Rita was supposed to be in Houston, I think that was probably about 5 years ago, the whole city evacuated. There was so much disaster on the highways and congestion. We had buses where they caught on fire, where a bunch of elderly folks burned to death. We had people dying and getting dehydrated on the highway and stop-and-go traffic. When the next hurricane hit...
Was this a male or a tornado?
No, this was a hurricane.
Hurricane.
Over here on the Gulf.
Hurricane Rita in Houston, right, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then I can't remember what the hurricane was that just, you know, went right through Galveston.
The one that you're talking about is Hurricane Rita. The only one I remember is they talked about one called Katrina.
That's 2005. Yeah.
Which was in 2005?
Were you in Hurricane? Did you ever see Hurricane Katrina? Did you see that one?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that one.
Okay, that one. You're talking about Rita. I don't know what happened there. Sounds to me like the weather forecast just blew it, right? You're saying everybody evacuated and they didn't need to do it, so there was no hurricane?
No, there was
a
hurricane, right?
There was a hurricane. Uh-huh. It actually hit in the Beaumont area. I had a friend that stayed in Beaumont until the hurricane shifted over there. He called me down in East Texas, and he was running from the hurricane. I told him to come back down to Houston, you know, to the western way.
Sir.
He lost his whole home and everything. His wife stayed with us for about a month before he even rebuilt the structure.
Well, at least his family was okay.
Right. Well, this was in a place called Beaumont. What's Ballmont?
Beaumont. It's like Baumont.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I got to tell you, these weather guys. So, what did you do? I mean, the thing that I would do, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the Weather Service and say, I don't know who you guys think you're kidding, and I don't know what you think you're trying to pull, but we just had a bus burn up out here on Highway 10 because you asses told us to leave town. Now, what did you all do there in Houston?
I you really can't blame the bus fire on the weather but on the same hand too. I said, you have to evaluate the situation and make a decision then. You know, if you live in a small structure that's not up to date with the codes and stuff, it would be in your best.
And this was in Beaumont.
No, it was not in It was Beaumont, is what he's saying.
He was in Beaumont?
It was in Houston, Texas.
I will say this, Steve, is I've been involved in safety and precaution for my entire life, and I'll just tell you something right now. First of all, kudos to you, sir, and everyone in Houston for adapting to the situation. But you got a weather bureau down there that cooked a whole busload of old people.
No. That's not what he's saying.
I understand. I know what you guys want to be. You know, you want to be nice about it. But I'm telling you right now, who's your main weather person in Houston, Steve, on a TV channel down there? Have you got one guy that you watch on TV like we used to have here in L.A., a guy named Dr. Fishback? Who you got?
You know, I can't remember their names.
I would say I'm like a Dr. Fishback. I say, Dr. Fishback, you just set fire to a bunch of old people. How do you feel now?
No, you're not going to do that. What? No.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. It wasn't the other people's fault. It was just faulty, equipment on the bus, you know.
Well, I understand. But they wouldn't have been on that bus. They wouldn't have been on that bus, and they wouldn't have been on Interstate 10 due east or due west. I know the area had some smartass at the Weather Channel, and all he's trying to do is, hit on.
Okay.
I think they want to prepare the public and everything too, but kudos them. They're doing the best job they can, but you have to evaluate your situation. I think
that's very, very true, Steve. Absolutely. And you have to always, you can't beat the first-person perspective on any situation, Steve. Thank you very much for your call. Why do you say what you say?
I'm just telling you, Phil, these people with the Weather Channel and these weather forecasters who think that they are like news anchors, and they're really not, they're killing people. They're killing people because they think they're a movie star or something.
All right, we're going to come back here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on this weekend's prediction of tornadoes in the Midwest and what to do. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry.
I tell you that right now.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we get into the second half hour here with Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we're talking about this the weekend of weather, Jay, that they say will mean tornadoes.
That's correct. That's right.
Okay. When you come on here and you talk about how you've never really had any practical experience with tornadoes yourself because you guys are based primarily in California and you don't have any real experience with that kind of weather, how do you... You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, Phil. I think it's a misnomer to say that I have to have some sort of experience with tornadoes, because look at the job, the people that do have experience with tornadoes.
Well, you know, that last guy that was on the phone is a great example of that. That poor man was trying to say it was a bad job done by people in Houston, but not necessarily the weatherman.
Well, but what he did say was, the weatherman said, oh, yeah, there's going to be a tornado. Or not a tornado.
Yeah, he said a hurricane. It was Hurricane Rita.
All right, Hurricane Rita. And we're going to have a hurricane, and you better do this, and you better do that. And you can well imagine what it sounded like in the city of Houston and the surrounding areas. And so what did people do? They did the logical thing. They got in their cars. They piled onto the freeways. They tried to get out of town. There was a massive traffic jam. And then this situation he described of a bus, burning, there's like old people that got burned up.
And well, you're saying that that's the weatherman's fault,
Well, who told him to get out of town that way? I mean,
Well, is it his fault to say we're going to have a hurricane? There was a hurricane.
There was a hurricane. But it wasn't a hurricane that you had to get in your car and like a bat out of hell, like something out of Panic. I don't know if you ever seen a Panic in the Year Zero, where you got everybody on a road. And have you seen Panic in the Year Zero, Phil?
Have I seen Panic in the what?
Did you ever see Panic in the Year Zero?
Panic in the Year Zero, no.
All right. Panic in the Year Zero is a film about a fictitious A-bomb that goes off in L.A. you have all of these cars that are jamming the freeway. Ray Milland has to pull a stick up to feed his family. He's a decent man, but he had to go into a store and steal a rifle. You know, so
I don't see what that has to do with what we're talking about.
Panic in Year Zero.
Panic in the Year Zero. It's a movie.
Yes. Ray Milland has full stick up. Now, the reason why I say Ray Milland, he generally played characters that were very sympathetic. And yet here's a man who's a father. And
I understand what you're talking to me about panic. Is that what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I still don't see how you blame that on the weatherman. That's the only thing I'm trying to say. Now, when we talk about the tornadoes and the fact you don't have any practical experience with tornadoes, but you've seen a lot of videotape.
That is exactly correct, Phil. We have collected at Citizens Auxiliary Police, and I do want to return to your point, by the way, about the bus fire and what panic did.
And well, we're just moving along now to the tornadoes, if you don't mind.
All right, but we have collected at the Citizens Auxiliary Police thousands of hours of film and videotape of tornado. And there have been a lot of them, and we've analyzed them. And we've done something that most of these weather people and people that live in the Midwest have never done. They haven't sit back and look at the videotape record because they're too frightened and too traumatized by it. But because we come from California, and we don't really have the same fear of tornadoes that they would have because we can sit and very clinically look at them.
And what do you get from your clinical analysis?
That you should, first of all, the first thing I saw is they're really big.
Yeah, they're really big.
And that you should stay put because there's a 50-50 chance that even if it hits you, even if it hits you and lifts you into the air or picks your house up with you in it, like, for instance, that ridiculous movie that everyone, that movie, what do you call that, Gleason? The Wizard of Oz, if you ever saw that.
Yeah?
What?
Are you trying to tell me that you've got stuff?
No, I'm just telling you. In Wizard of Oz, the house went up, she went down, she lived.
50% chance of it, huh? Let me get to a phone call here. I got Debbie Daly, who's on the line.
Wait a minute. I'm not... Phil, I think what you're doing is you're blowing off some of the stuff that I wanted to say to you about this, because
Hold on for a minute. Debbie Daly is with us from New York City tonight. She is the host of Daly's Daily, a morning show on public radio. And Debbie is the first and, as far as we know, the only hearing-impaired radio host on in America. And she joins us on our newsmaker line. Debbie, how are you doing?
I feel like you and you're good tonight. I'm ringing him,
You sound like Mary Ballin?
No.
Okay, she said I'm not Mary Madeline, but I do admire her. She's not Mary Madeline, who is the...
The lady that was married to James Carvel.
No, that's not Mary Madeline. Mary Madeline is the actress. Mary Madeline, I think, Madeline... Mary Madeline is a wonderful actress. She was nominated for Children of a Lesser God. Did you see that one?
I do not think I did, unless it was one that my wife dragged me to. I don't mean that by for any. I don't mean to be insulted or nothing like that.
Well, it was a very good movie, and you'd probably appreciate it. You'd really love her performance.
That's great. So, who's Mary Madeline?
Mary Matlin's married to James Carvel.
Right, that's what I said. So James Carvel and whose family, he's the heir to the ice cream fortune. And
no, he's got nothing to do with the ice cream fortune. What do you mean? You talking about Carvel ice cream?
No, Phil, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, there's no problem. I understand what you're saying.
How do you know what she's saying?
Phil, I'm in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I mean, we talked to... Yeah, forgive me for saying this, but we have to... We pick a lot of retards up off the street all the time. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you that.
She's not mentally disabled, okay? We're talking about someone who's hearing impaired.
Well, all right, I'm sorry, but we do... I apologize, Ms. Daly. I really do. I sound like I got something in my mouth? Ma'am, did I insult you that way? Yeah, but I didn't say you sound like you got your lips wrapped around something.
I didn't hear her say that.
Yes, she did. She just said, well, you know. I don't have a speech impediment, man. I'm originally from Western Pennsylvania, and we swallow our owls. You hear that? I bet you that's not all you swallow.
Yeah, well, you know, you asked for it, okay?
I didn't ask for anything. All I'm trying to do, Phil, is give information on a tornado. Ma'am, I don't like being called a dumbass.
Look, at the audience doesn't know what's being said, so let me interpret, if you don't mind.
All right.
She said, you're not informing anybody, you dumbass.
All right. I apologize, Ms. Daly, for saying that you were retarded. And yes, I do. I apologize to all of the people who are disabled. I didn't mean to say that. I apologize as well for saying that, you know, that I'm giving out tornado information. I've never been a tornado.
She's been through a tornado. Let me tell you something. It just so happens the tornado that I was in, it happened to me the way it happened to Judy Garland.
Right. So your house got picked up?
It would got picked up and it was carried 5 miles.
Then what happened?
It was dropped on the ground.
Well, I figure it was dropped on the ground because the tornado's got in. But was you alive?
I guess I was alive. Who do you think you're talking to right now?
Yeah, well, no. What I'm saying is, were you injured or anything?
Same thing that happened to Judy Garland. I had a bump on the head.
Is that right? Did you develop a pill addiction, too, later in life? I mean, everything was a shit.
How dare you talk to me that... Look, don't insult. Let's just get information.
Everything with this woman, you know, Judy Garland this, Judy Garland that. I know you admire Judy Garland very much. It doesn't mean you got to walk in her footsteps and copy everything she does. Let me ask you this. Did you ever marry Vincent Minnelli?
Oh, come on, will you? This is getting stupid. What do you want to say, Debbie? And Jay, just be quiet. What do you want to say? Yes, I'm talking to you. I know you're Debbie Daly, the host of Public Radio. What did I do wrong? I'm talking to a woman who's disabled. She's a woman, and I'm talking to her in a harsh way. I could sue you. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry, okay? Okay, Jay Santos is not doing anybody a service by telling people to just stand there in the middle of a tornado. If you stand there, you could get picked up like I was and thrown around in a house.
The biggest load of crap. Yes, I am calling you a liar. You tell me your house got picked up and you...
Look at Debbie, thank you, and I agree. And as far as your own personal experience having your house picked up and, you know... You know, you're not a BS artist. I just,
I think she's a BS artist. I think she's the Banksy of BS. Tell you that right now. That's what I said, the Banksy of BS. Go ahead.
She wants to use it on her show. That's great, Debbie. Okay, thanks a lot. It's Debbie Daly, folks, with Daly's Daily, the Banksy of BS, every morning on public radio. Bye. God. And get rid of him, will you?
Jay?
Yes. All right, just remember, folks, no matter what happens this weekend, keep your ear to the weather service, those of you who are in the weather-affected areas. And you guys know what to do. Be smart, be safe, help your neighbors, help yourselves, and stay close to the radio. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back. Our news and information hour is coming up as well. Margaret Gray is going to join us here on Brad and Angelina coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here live from the El Pacifico every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We have on the line with us Margaret Gray. We're going to get her up here in just a moment to talk about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. But I want to remind you that you can be a backstage pass holder by simply going to our website and signing up. Get a backstage pass. You can get a backstage pass for the month. You can get one for 6 months. You can get one for the whole year. But you have access to all that RM, the Phil Hendry Show, including our nightly video cast. What is that hanging from my mouth, bud?
Did you wipe?
What do you mean, did I wipe? It's just a shadow. It looks like it was chilly or something.
Yeah, I'm falling with chilly, but I'm saying...
Well, say something, man.
I don't want to be rude.
Rude? If I'm sitting here... What do you mean chilly? I didn't eat any chilly. I'm on a big-time diet here, man.
Yeah, you're eating all rabbit food and everything like that.
You want to call it rabbit food, friend, but I've lost a hell of a lot of weight here in the last... let's see, what's today? The 13th? Started it on the 19th. Almost a month, man. We're coming up on a month. And it's going to be close to 20 pounds. All right, here is Margaret Gray joining us from... Margaret, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well. And congratulations on the diet. I had no idea.
Yeah. I think this is going to work.
And what method are you using?
I'm doing calorie counting.
Oh, you have to be careful of that because you know the blood sugar.
Well, you're absolutely right. You tend to, especially in the early days of a diet, you tend to use up all your calories early in the day, but... you know, I'm fine.
And what did you have for dinner tonight, if you don't mind me asking you?
I had a protein shake.
And what was in it?
It was banana and protein powder and strawberries.
Yay.
That's not very masculine, is it? It's
okay, well, that's what I had.
I'm only kidding you, Phil. I'd say good luck to you. I really hope it's successful for you. Because I've seen pictures of you, Phil, when you were much slimmer. And I'll tell you, if I was a young woman again, wait a minute, you're almost my age.
That's right.
All right, so if we were both young.
Yeah, if we were both young again, it would... anyway...
What are you talking about?
Sending your business thing. Anyway, Phil, the big news today, as I reported in A Little Bird Told Me, and a lot of people I think have probably been seeing the news on TMZ and some of the other entertainment sites, Radar Online had it early, and that is that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are officially engaged. Dateline, this is how I wrote it for my column, Dateline Los Angeles. This is for my column, Phil, so it would say, as reported by Margaret Gray, you know.
Right, Little Bird Told Me.
Yeah, for the Dicklin Syndicate. Dateline Los Angeles, I'm Margaret Gray. Hollywood's hottest couple has made it official, with Brad Pitt proposing to Angelina Jolie. After six children and years of unwedded bliss, a spokeswoman said, yes, it's confirmed, said Pitt's manager, Cynthia Pet Dante. She was talking to People magazine. It's a promise for the future, and their kids are very, very happy. Then I made an editorial comment here. I said, I think it's very... I think it's a little glaring, and it's unnecessary to give yourself three last names when you work in entertainment. And then I went on to write, jeweler Robert Prokop designed...
Oh, whoa, can I interrupt?
Well, I guess you did, didn't you? Can you interrupt?
Can you interrupt? You can't interrupt. You already did interrupt her.
Well, I'm sorry. I you know...
Well, yes, you did interrupt.
You already interrupted.
Okay, I guess I've interrupted.
What do you want?
Well, Margaret, this is my show, so I'm going to interrupt when I need to.
I understand that, Phil. Oh, boy.
Okay, Tarzan.
Oh, come on, will you? What are you guys on? You got a problem tonight? Do you have an argument? Did he smack you in the car again?
How dare you bring up our... Oh, my God.
All right, look, can I ask a question? Or do you have to ask Frank first?
I go my own way, thank you very much, Phil. What's your question?
My question is, why the editorial comment about a woman with three names?
Where's that?
I don't know, some chicken garbage. Where is it here?
I don't remember.
You said, in the middle of this, you're reading the story, and you go, Hollywood's hottest couple, boom, 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 boom. Yes, it's confirmed. Pitt's manager, Cynthia Pet Dante, told People magazine. And then you said, as an editorial comment, I don't see any reason why you should have three last names.
Oh, is it all real funny to you now, Phil?
Well, you said,
I remember what I said. The reason why I said that, Phil, is because it was necessary at that moment to say it. It was a very glaring thing that you have to allude to. Otherwise, the audience is sitting there, or the readership is sitting there going, well, what is she going to do?
Yeah, it's like the audience is saying, you know, is he going to comment on this, or is he just going to let it sit there? You know, Phil, if you've ever had a cat, and we had a tomcat, an old tomcat, and her name was Bill, and...
hold on, Phil. You know he has gender confusion.
Yeah, I didn't know he had gender confusion even when it came to animals.
Well, why wouldn't he?
The tomcat, she was named Bill, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you keep grabbing the phone? Anyway, we had an old tomcat. Her name was Bill. And I would go to work in the morning, and I would sit in my office, and sure enough, she'd come in and take, you know, relieve herself in her in his cat box, in her cat box. I was thinking that she was relieving herself in Missy's cat box. He had already had kittens. And
okay, that's fine, Frank. So then what happened?
All right, well, what happened was... this tomcat had come in, she'd relieve herself, and so there'd be the stench of this turd in my office while I'm trying to start my day and I'm trying to work. Well, the same thing goes with this comment about this Cynthia Pet Dante. If you don't say anything about him having three last names or two last names, it stinks like a turd until someone does something.
Yeah, someone's got to do something, Phil. Someone, you can't just let it sit there and stink. I think that's a very good analogy.
You know, it never even occurred to me, and I think I'm speaking for a few people.
You see what he does?
Well, I got to say something. I love you, and most of the time you're right about Margaret, but you really, tonight, you're way...
What am I doing wrong?
You're butting in while she's trying to do a report.
Who's she?
My son.
Get him out of there, will you?
Give me the phone. Bill, I'm trying to do my report, okay? May I?
Go ahead.
I have to start all over again.
Go ahead.
Brad Jolie and Angelina Pitt. Angelina Pitt.
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina got.
Hang on, will you?
Oh, okay, I'll hang on. You got a lot of nerve. You ruin something I worked very hard on, this report. And then you say, hang on. Here. It's times like these, Phil, I wish I was a man. Because I could unzip and say, hang on to this. But I can't.
No, you can't.
Except in Frank's mind, I'm a him. And
thanks. Yeah, get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
I'm rude.
You understand, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Phil Hendry.
Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And Bud and I were having a discussion about computers because we were...
You belching again, man.
You don't have to point it at the people, okay? I belched, all right? I'm sorry. Excuse me, folks. I had a Diet Coke.
What about this diet? You're not supposed to have a Diet Coke.
Really? You don't think I should have a drink that's zero calories?
Oh, I don't know, zero calories.
Yeah, most of them diet drinks, they lie. Because they'll say, like, hey, they'll say sometimes...
Turn off the microphone, bud. God, you're spitting all over it.
But yeah, but a lot of them will say, yeah, this is a diet product, and it's like got a million calories and everything.
Yeah, let's do that.
No, I hear you. Believe me, man. When I went on this diet, I checked out everything. And I have my little apps that I use, and I go to my little websites. I know exactly, you know, how to look up the caloric content of different things. And so I'm right there with you, brother. I mean, you can look at some of these foods. It'll say fat-free, this and that, this and that. And the other thing that pisses me off is if you're going to put down the caloric content of something, then make sure you're accurate, because there's differing opinions, man.
Like what?
Well, I shouldn't say, but... because I happen to like their products. Progresso, you know the guys that make the soup?
Yeah, don't they make the Minestrone?
Minestrone? No.
Minestrone.
If you guys are starting off with the jokes, or are you just going to work into it?
Well, I'm just
you know, you know, right off the bat, just Minestrone and Mr. Strone, is that it? Or can I get something out here that I want to say to my audience?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, just not everything is an opportunity for a joke. It's Minestrone. They've got a fantastic soup that's called a high-fiber soup. Whatever, it's a low-fat soup. And I checked it out, and it says such-and-such calories. And then I actually, you know, investigated a little further some objective sites on varying foods, and they had the calories a little bit higher. So you have to, I don't go by the can, man. I like to find out from a third-party source, if you will. But nonetheless, it's going along pretty good, man. I got like 2,000 calories a day. It's tough, you know.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good with it, though.
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of cool because you eat what you feel like eating. I mean, there's some days where I just...
You ever had like donuts?
Donuts? No, man. How are you going to do donuts on 2,000 calories a day?
But, like, you could have a donut, though.
What donut am I going to eat? I eat one donut, and that's probably half, if not all, of the calories that I've allotted myself.
What about, don't they have them fat-free donuts?
Fat-free donuts? I don't know, man. I wouldn't even, you know what? It's not worth it. Those fat-free things like fat-free donut, fat-free this, fat, it's bullcrap, man. Unless you're talking about cottage cheese or something like that. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not even going to do it.
Yeah, but you can have one day, and I would say you have one day to blow it out, you know?
Yeah, like one day, if you feel like having a donut, if you want to go down like one day a week and go down here to Spudnut and get yourself like a cruller, that kind of thing, why can't you do that?
One day a week, I just don't want to do it, man. I just don't feel like doing it, you know? Here I am putting in all this effort during the week, and then on Sunday, what am I going to do? Go down to Spudnuts and get myself as good as those donuts is, you know?
Yeah, the donuts are the best.
Spud Nuts is good, man. But no way. No way. No, I've been working my ass off, man. I've been working too hard. And,
Yeah, getting some of them clothes you bought for the a lot of different thing.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, man. You know the clothes I got, man, that I can't fit into? It's pissing me off. I mean, it pisses me off. I have suits, man. And I mean expensive suits. I can't get into those suits. As it is, once this weight comes off, I'm going to have to take those suits in. I got to get all kinds of stuff fixed on them because I'm such a fat ass that when I tried to put on one of those pairs of pants once, I think I busted the damn...
Yeah, you busted off that metal hook. The guy that I took it into, that one tailor, said he ain't never seen nothing like before.
Yeah, he said it was pretty... Like, that was amazing, man. You bust that whole metal hook off it.
Oh, get out of here.
I swear to God.
I'm sure. Oh, I've never seen anything like that before.
Well, the guy said he'd never seen, like... He never saw, he said, I've never seen a fat man like destroy a pair of pants like you did.
I've never seen a fat, just give me that quote again.
Yeah, here I got it, I wrote it down.
Yeah, you do it.
Oh, you wrote it down, huh?
Well, no, he said, I've never seen a fat man destroy a pair of pants like that guy done.
And who's that guy, me?
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Well, do you want me to say on the air?
No, you better not. Is that the guy I bought the suit from?
No, it's the guy that took it in, the tailor.
God. Well, I tell you what, man, now I know who those guys. I ain't going back to them. How about that?
No, you can't blame them on account of the tailor. He's just a little simple Yugoslavian man.
I don't care if he's a simple little Yugoslavian man. Well, then I'm going to say something. Did this guy say this to you guys?
Yeah, he said it to us. He didn't think we'd work for you.
I've never seen a fat man destroy a pair of pants like that guy. In any event... The diet's going very well, thank you. But that's the truth. I mean, once I get the weight off, and there's no doubt in my mind the weight is coming. It's now coming. I've lost about 20 pounds, and I'm down below weights I haven't seen in a long time. So and I feel good too. I'm not hungry. This is fantastic because I know now that when I get hungry now, it's either I do need to eat and I've got, you know, and I can, or it's just that nervous eating that you did back in the day when you were eating too much, you know? So,
You hungry right now?
Well, I mean, when I get off the air, I will be. But right now, I'm good. I'm good. And I wasn't kidding when I said to Margaret, I had a protein shake. I had like a scoop of protein powder, a banana, and some strawberries in it.
How many calories is a banana?
Man, what are you doing, man? You going to be on a diet or something?
None of your business.
You just let all, it's 141, bud. What's with all the questions?
I just was just curious if you're staying within limits.
That, you know what? I'll do that. Not you. 141 calories for a large banana. Look, see, he's laughing now.
Yeah, everything with you, man, is sex.
I'm just kidding around.
Remember when I said I was going to belt you?
You wouldn't really do that, would you?
Yes, I would. I'll smack you right in the nose.
Please don't.
Yeah? You're going to ask all these questions. I'm this close, bud, to kicking your ass out of the studio for good.
Sorry.
I mean, there's times when you're funny, and there's times when you're really on target, but, you know, I'm talking about something here, man. You want to make a big joke because I said the word banana? Look at this guy. What a baby.
Man, you got to shut up. You almost hit me.
That's right, and I was going to hit you. I was going to hit you. Don't worry about it. I will. I'll belt you. I told you, man.
That would be violence against the disabled.
You know, bud, I'm going to give you an opportunity to test all of your little legal theories, which you've often threatened me. You've said, oh, if you hit me, it's violence against the disabled. First of all, you're not disabled. Just because you got a plate in your head doesn't mean you're disabled. You ride a motorcycle. You've got a driver's license. There's nothing disabled about you. Secondly, if you want to sue me, I've warned you. I've warned you. I'll go ahead and I'll take the lawsuit. I'll take the arrest. That's how much you're starting to bug me.
You mean you go to jail just for the satisfaction?
Yes. Do you get it now? But I've been trying to tell you.
You'd have to, that'd be bad publicity.
Bad publicity? I'm on the radio doing it, man. How bad can it get? So if I say I had a banana in my protein shake, you don't have to sit there going...
Well...
Yeah.
What else do you have?
Well, I had a cucumber.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. I had a cucumber and a zucchini.
What about... You had a bratwurst?
Had a couple of bratwursts, too. All right, now. So that was that, and this is now. What the hell were we saying? Oh, yeah, I was talking about the diet thing, but I had one other piece of information to impart. The important thing about any of that, when you're talking about your own personal health, because I was just talking to a guy today online, and he's 33. He's a young guy that I know, and I say young guy, you know, I mean, I can't believe that I've reached a point in my life where a cat who's 33, I say, hey, he's a young guy, but he is. I wish I would have thought of myself as young when I was 33. But anyway, he's giving up smoking. You know what I said to him? I said, why?
Why do you say that?
Because I realized that, you know, unless you have a really compelling need. I got to tell you something. I shouldn't say this. This is going to be a bad thing to say. Because I know that there are people in their 30s and then their 20s that get lung cancer. There's no question that it's a carcinogen. It's a devastating effect on the, you know, it's bad. But I recognize that much of that damage is done over a long period of time until eventually, you know, you're in your 50s maybe or 40s, depending, or 60s. You're getting emphysema. You're getting lung cancer. It's very true. All of that stuff happens to you. But I think there's a little bit of a window, and I might be wrong, so take it with a grain of salt. There's a window of opportunity to smoke cigarettes where it's not necessarily going to be the most devastating thing that happened to you health-wise.
That, people are going to probably write in and complain about that. You got some letters here. Here's a lady that said,
put it in my face, bud.
Right here about smoking cigarettes. She said, congratulations to Mr. Henry on accounting when he quit.
Yeah. She said that you were talking about quitting cigarette. That's going to give her inspiration to do the same thing.
How old is she?
Said 97.
97. I'm talking about younger people, okay? So you don't want to flip your lid and make your life a living hell and, oh, God, I better quit smoking and I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to do this, you know. But I will tell you this much. You remember when we were talking about, remember when Michael Strahan, I was there at Fox and we did that thing for New Girl? I don't know if it's been on yet or not.
Yeah.
Michael Strahan is a former defensive end with the New York Giants. Very nice guy. He's in his 40s now, I guess, maybe. And he said, I was talking to him and he said, boys, you know, every day, he says, I go to the gym, and every day I'm working out. He said, and I realized I'm not playing football anymore. What for? And I said, you want to know what for? He said, what? I said, take a look at me, man. That's what's going to happen to you when you hit your 50s unless you keep on working out. You know?
Yeah, but he's in really good shape.
He may be in really good shape. It doesn't mean he can't turn into a fat pig, man, if he doesn't keep working out. Now, he's a big guy, too. Strahan's got to be 6'5", 6'6". But he said, geez, I don't know why I'm working out. He said, I'll tell you why you're working out, and you can keep on working out, man, or it hits you, man. You know, the hormones slow down, and next thing you know,
you're Blimpo the Elephant.
Uh-huh. And it'll happen to you, too, smartass. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Did we already talk to Margaret about the freaking Angelina Jolie? I don't even know if we did or not. Was Margaret with us? Yeah. Oh, I know what happened. Maybe we should have her back on. The world-famous Phil Hendry show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
Can't remember
the
anything,
Phil
bud.
Hendry show.
Not my fault.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Oh, Kenny's dead.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This ought to be interesting. Margaret Gray is back with us, and my apologies, Margaret. I know that you wanted to complete your report, but...
Well, I want to tell you something. I don't blame you for the... You know, we are on the air. I apologize to your audience that all of that personal information gets on the air. It shouldn't. And I take the lead in apologizing to you.
Well, I should have... I'm sorry, too, Margaret.
You know, I respect you, and I appreciate the time that you do give Dicklin Syndicate and my own column, A Little Bird Told Me, the time that you give us. And the only comment I wanted to say about Brad and Angelina was this. God bless them. I hope they have a blessed marriage. And I do want to say it's about time. I don't really get it. If you're with a woman, then you give her a ring. And this adopting children and so on and so forth without getting married tells me that they are not committed to each other, and they're not committed to the children that they've adopted. And I know that's not how they feel. It gives the wrong appearance. It gives the appearance to the world that our American royalty, if you will, our film stars, are just people sitting on a porch, and there's a car parked on the lawn, and you know the rest. And
white trash.
Well, absolutely. And Angelina Jolie is all... And Angelina, if you're listening, darling, you know that I love you, and you know I've talked to you about this before. She already has one foot in it when it comes to that anyway.
Well, what? God, why do you say that?
Oh, don't act shocked, Phil. Who?
Was married to that Billy Jim Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton, exactly.
Well, that doesn't make her white trash. That guy played.
Yes, oh, come on, Phil. She's got one foot in it as it is with the white trash label. Why put the other foot in? Why be standing four square in warm cow dung in the middle of a field in Hana? And you know what that's about, don't you? So
I know that. Yeah. I mean, wow. I didn't know we were going to be that specific.
Well, didn't you tell me you stood in?
Didn't you say you stood in warm cow pie? Warm.
He's drunk. He's drunk, Phil. But I'll interpret what
he said.
Frank said, "Didn't you stand in a warm cow pie?" Hello, Phil.
I'm here, and I'm beginning to lose my patience with you.
What are you yelling at me for?
What has that got to do with anything, whether I stood in a warm cow pie in Hawaii?
You did.
Yes, I did, and nobody's asking you, bud. Yes, I did by mistake.
All right, Phil, I didn't say you did it on purpose. My God.
All right, yes, I did. I stepped in a warm cow pie in a field in Hawaii. Yes, I did. I was taking a hike. I was walking through a large field. There were lots of cows there. I was going to the top of a mountain.
Well, you don't have to tell us the whole story.
Well, I'm going to tell you the whole story. How's that feel?
God.
What an ass. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm going to tell you the whole story. There was a hill across from the hotel I was staying at. It was a beautiful part of Maui. It was down in Hana. It's down in the very, a lot of farmland and ranch land there.
And Oprah has a piece of property, too.
Oh, you want to rejoin the conversation? Is that it?
I was just saying...
You want to rejoin the conversation? I thought you were... I thought I was an ass.
Sorry.
And I saw across from the hotel this beautiful wide field and this hill. And on top of the hill was this cross, a very large cross. And I thought, that looks like an interesting place to hike to. And so I went across the road. And I entered this large, beautiful, must have been a, obviously, it's a ranch of some kind, and there were hundreds of cows out there grazing. And as I walked down, the only road that there was an asphalt road. And these cows, it's pretty amazing when you're the only two-legged, when you're the only biped in a world of quadrupeds.
What's that mean?
Four-legged, quadruped is four-legged, or four-footed. And a biped is too, me. And there I was walking along. Well, naturally, if a cow's walking down a street in the middle of human beings, we're all going to look at the cow and go, what the hell are you doing here, right? This is no place for a cow. Well, the same thing is true of cows, I found. As you're walking down a road and you're the only two-legged guy within miles, even though it was only actually a few hundred yards from the hotel, but the cows were looking at me like, what the hell is this?
Then they had to get pissed off?
Well, I mean, as I was walking, I started to get nervous. I'm seriously, because there were not only the cows, the females, but there were the bulls. And they would look, and when one looked up from the grass and saw this human, he was like, what the hell? You'd imagine a human just go like, well now, what you doing here, boy? Well, it was the same thing with his cow. You know, he looks up and be like, what the hell have we got here? And a couple of them started to walk toward me, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to really suck if I get charged by a freaking bull or something.
Was you wearing red or anything?
I was going to say that, but were you wearing red?
No, I wasn't wearing red, as the, you know. But I kept on walking, and anyway, to the point that you and Frank were making, at one point, I don't know what happened, but I was I think I'd stopped, and I was looking around. And then I felt something warm begin to envelop my foot.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And I looked down, and it was just a nice, fresh one, too.
Just laid, huh?
You got it. Just wrapped around my foot, man.
Well, you wear, like, sandals or something?
I was wearing... Would you put Margaret on hold, please? We'll get to her after the break. I was wearing sandals, so basically it had enveloped my bare sandal-clad foot in cow dung. It wasn't that bad. It was, oh, God.
What do you do?
Well, I mean, I took the sandal off and I wiped it off in the grass like we used to do as kids. What'd you do when you were a kid and you stepped in dog crap? You know, you try to wipe it off on the grass. And there's nothing else I could do. The first faucet I came to, and luckily I found one. But then I went back to the hotel room and just took a big-ass shower, man, you know.
That was only a foot.
I don't give a damn, man. What do you think? I'm just going to rinse my foot off and then go and have lunch?
Well, yeah, but did it still stink?
I don't know, bud. But I, you know, that's not what civilized human beings do. I went and I took a shower because I was on my way to lunch. But that's my story of the cow pie out there in the field in Hawaii. When we come back, Margaret Gray joins us so we can finally get a report on Brad and Angelina. Thank you. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's about time.
Don't worry about it.
Woo! Woo! This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. I'll be right back.
You said gay.
I know.
Hendry.
All right, hold on. We're back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray back with us here. I want to hear about Brad and Angelina, okay?
Just one thing. You said something about going to Hawaii to Dan, your engineer, to Molokai.
Yeah, I said Molokai is starting to open up as a tour for people listening. Molokai, if you go to Hawaii, a lot of people go to Maui. People go to... But Molokai here is opening up.
Do you understand that Molokai has a leper colony?
God almighty.
Margaret, I don't know if there is still a leper colony there or not.
Well, if there is, you understand what leprosy is.
Good God, Bill.
Frank, do me a favor, will you? Every time I got a couple on the line, it's both of them.
Frank, get lost, will you?
I didn't.
Just get lost. Go have a drink. You know there's a leper colony there.
Where's the ice?
Oh, my God, the ice again.
Jeez.
Right over there. You know you know what a leper colony is, don't you?
Yeah, I know what a leper colony is. I have heard about the one on Molokai. I don't know if it's still there. And if it is, it is one that is about as benign a settlement of people. They live there. They're affected in varying degrees by this disease. It ain't going to affect you. Molokai is looking to develop, and they may have already. I mean, the last time I was in Hawaii, it's been so long. They were talking about Molokai as a destination.
Well, yeah, right. But I guess something is wrong in our conversation. Leper colony. Leper.
I know what it is.
Your nose, Frank.
The nose falls off. You understand what happens with your hand?
Your nose. Look at people. I'm done talking about this, okay?
I don't think it's responsible. I don't think it's responsible.
All right, so I won't talk about it anymore. And the people of Hawaii and the Tourism Board of Hawaii, they're going to really thank you for that.
Oh, now get a grip, will you, Phil? I think Hawaii is absolutely lovely. Frank and I go there a couple times a year. In fact, we have a place on the Big Island.
Yeah, I know. I've asked you if I could use it, and you've always...
No, I have not.
You've always turned me down, and you said I could use it.
I did, any time.
Yeah, the three times I've asked you, you can't.
Because we were having the carpet steam cleaned, you know.
There was a couple of something else. Anyway, Phil, I want to get to the Brad and Angelina story, but there is one thing that's bothering me. I am sick and tired, and I know I talk for a lot of women here when I say this. I am absolutely sick to my stomach of Trojan Vibrations and their commercials. Every time I turn the TV on late at night, I'm looking at a commercial. What do you want?
Your hair is blown back straight.
Why, you filthy dirt.
Okay, what is gonna...
I told you to get lost, but I mean it, Frank. You don't get lost, there's going to be some bad things happening around here, and they're all going to happen to you.
You just said your hair was straight back.
Oh, you want some more, don't you?
What? I don't understand this.
Get rid of her.
I'm going to get rid of you, Ms. Gray.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm going to hang up on you.
All right, look, all I'm saying is Trojan Vibrations is a disgrace. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing commercials. And then the couple walks down the street, which, as Frank alluded, thought he was being funny, but he's not being funny anymore. Do you hear Frank anywhere?
No, I don't.
Yeah. That's about all you're going to hear from him. Now,
what did you do?
What do you think I did? Frank, say hi. So what I'm saying...
So you gagged him?
Yeah, I gagged him. And he's never had so much fun. So what I'm saying is, Phil, that the Trojan Vibration...
Okay, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore.
You know she pays for that time.
Everybody's paying for time around here. Everyone's paying for time around here. Is that what's going on now?
Yeah, I'm just saying, she pays for the time.
She may pay for the time. Then we got Ted Bell pays for time and Bob Green. Everyone's buying time, man. We're brokering radio left and right. I'm not having her on the air anymore. If she's going to keep on getting sidetracked, I was going to have Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. She's talking to me about Trojan Vibrations. She's finding fault with the way I'm doing things. Leper colonies in Hawaii. You name it, she's got an opinion about all of it. Now, the last thing I hear is she's got her husband bound and gagged.
It's pretty funny.
It may be funny, man, but it's not part of what I wanted to hear. I'll do the report. Hollywood's hottest couple has made it official, with Brad Pitt proposing to Angelina Jolie after six children and years of unwedded bliss, a spokesperson said. This is the woman that Margaret was talking about, because she had three names, and that's inappropriate if you work in Hollywood. Brad Pitt's manager, Cynthia Pett Dante, told People magazine, "It's a promise for the future, and their kids are very happy." She said no date had been set at this time, and there was no word of the wedding's location. The news put an end to months of speculation about the couple and their plans to marry. Jeweler Robert Prokop designed Jolie's engagement ring in collaboration with Pitt and confirmed the news. I guess that's where they, confirm things now in terms of these engagements and stuff. You call the jeweler.
Why is that?
Because they're the guys that are making the ring.
They're making a ring. I'm asking Phil, man. I ain't asking you.
All right. Take it easy. Brad was always very heavily involved overseeing every aspect of the creative design and the evolution of this ring. Oh, isn't that just marvelous? Of course, if this is the only statement that the jeweler gets, I guess he's going to want to say stuff about this. Brad was always heavily involved overseeing every aspect of the creative design. In fact, even to the extent that the kids were neglected, two of which starved to death.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. The evolution of the side diamonds are specifically cut to encircle her finger. Each diamond is of the highest gem quality. That's not what I heard, Robert.
No, that guy's going to be pissed off.
I'm kidding around, sir. Although, you could really, like, just mess around with a story. Robert Prokop, who thinks he sold them a really nice ring, but according to the gem specialists that I know, no, it's I'm sure it's very nice. Mr. Pitt is 48. Jolie is 36, going on 48. And,
you may say that.
Don't pull that out of my hand.
What? What's he pulling out of your hand?
I'm kidding, okay? Anyway, Pitt, 48, and Jolie, 36, became close on the set of the 2005 film Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They have three biological children together. They just went out and had themselves a whole bunch of kids, and oh yeah, let's get married. Now, they had three biological children together and adopted three others, and Pitt apparently caved after pressure from the kids. Isn't that something? Hey, Daddy, Mommy, would you please get married so we don't look like real trash? Well, okay. We'd actually like to, Pitt said, of making Jolie his wife, and it seems to mean more and more to our kids. We don't care, personally, but the kids would like to have a name. You get it? The children, wanting to have a name, and not just to be seen as, you know, this sort of a tribe. So anyway, it was very important. We made the declaration some time ago that we weren't going to do it till everyone can, huh? Oh, they were not going to get married until there was marriage for... Oh, I see. That's why they didn't get married?
Yeah. They're going to get married until the gay people can.
Yeah, they were going to stay up. So they were going to stay white trash until...
All right, let's just calm down. Let me say it. So they were going to stay white trash until all, you know, so gay people could get married. Let's see here. So in other words, until such time as gay people are afforded, and they have been afforded that opportunity in California and other states, until that was going to happen, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were just going to sit there on the porch with the car parked in the front lawn and all kinds of kids and who knows whose is whose and who had what and who's the mom. And it was going to be a real mess. Thank you very much, you homophobes.
You can't blame them.
I just did. So last year, it was very busy for Angelina Jolie with the release of the film In the Land of Blood and Honey, a Bosnian war, a Bosnian war tale that marked her directorial debut. I understand that creatively, I think, I understand it's very good. It went direct to video, but I said, no, it didn't. Well, I know it's on my pay-per-view. And there's a commercial there with Angelina Jolie pitching the movie, In the Land of Blood and Honey. You know what? I got to tell you something about Angelina Jolie. And this is facts. And I've talked to military people from Iraq. She is one of the real people, man, you know.
Yeah, I hear she did good stuff.
She really did. She went to Iraq and was doing a lot of work getting people back into their homes, getting refugees resettled and so forth. And I never heard a bad thing about her from the military. She worked with the military respectfully and was not, you know, beating some anti-war drum and wasn't acting like a real douche. And the people you talked to who were over there, who knew her, who met her, who worked with her, said that she was a terrific person to work with and very respectful. So I ever since I heard that, I've always admired her, and not I haven't lumped her in with certain other, you know,
douchebags.
Right, certain other douchebags that she has been. She hasn't politicized it, man. She says, look, there is a human tragedy happening here. We've got to, you know, we've got to help people here. And she left politics out of it. And as I say, didn't, you know, look at the military like the enemy and this kind of thing, but worked very closely with them. So that I respect. All right. It's family first. This was a statement made by Brad Pitt. It's family first. This year, I needed to spend more time with my family, so I spent more quiet time developing stuff. Earlier this year, Jolie raised eyebrows and probably temperatures by exposing a thigh in a gown with a full-length slit while presenting one of the Oscars show in Hollywood. I didn't get shocked by that at all. The stuff that freaks people out, man, it's one of the reasons why I missed that. It was like no big thing, you know?
Well, you mean her thigh wasn't a big thing?
Yeah, her thigh. See, the reason why she told the thigh, you showed the thigh, big fat-ass thigh. You know,
no, you idiots. I'm talking about the fact that she even showed the thigh, whether it was fat or not. Ain't about whether she had a fat thigh.
Well, you're going to show a thigh, skinny.
Yeah, it's like my aunt. She got the big fat rear end and got the big fat thigh. She ain't going to do it.
Great. Well, when your aunt gets nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Right. Finally, within less than an hour, someone had created Angie's right leg, subhead, I'm Angelina Jolie's, and boy, that it was so uninteresting. That killed that star. Okay, so congratulations on finally getting engaged, and the marriage is scheduled for 2026, so it's going to be fantastic. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to wrap up here. We're heading into a weekend, baby. It's another Saturday. That's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Is Tuesday the 17th?
Yeah.
I think that's the NTSF rap party. But that's also the night the woman who wasn't there is going to be on. I'm kidding. I'm going to go to the rap party. I'm not going to do the... We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
You don't know what they were doing. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're about to wrap up here on this Friday night, Saturday morning. And a beautiful weekend I hope you have. You guys living in the Midwest, I really do hope you are storm-free. We've had rain here in California, and you'd swear to God, it was the worst thing that's ever happened. Every time it rains out here, it's the same bloody thing. Nobody can drive. Nobody can walk. Nobody can think. You swear to God, it was like 50 pounds of snow somebody dumped on your ass, you know. So where the real people live and where the real weather is, you know, you guys stay safe and pay attention to your weather, man. Not like what Jay Santos said. Let's see. What is it with you, Bud? They were bird, dog, and chicks.
That's why he sent them home.
Bud and I were having an argument about there's some Secret Service guys that have been sent home, as many as a dozen. Secret Service agents at the summit of the Americas in Colombia have been replaced. An incident involving a prostitute and at least one of the agents has been reported. As many as a dozen Secret Service agents have been sent home from the summit of the Americas here this weekend. This is in Cartagena, Colombia. Because of allegations of misconduct, the agents were relieved of duty at the summit and replaced with new agents, according to a Secret Service spokesman. The activities that resulted in the sudden transfer of agents took place prior to President Obama's arrival in Colombia on Friday afternoon, according to sources familiar with the matter. The incident involves suspicion of involvement with a prostitute by at least one of the agents, according to the Washington Post, which, along with the Associated Press, reported the story this evening, last evening, Friday evening. The Secret Service has opened an investigation, but spokesman Ed Donovan declined to disclose the nature of the investigation, would not confirm or deny the allegations that one or more agents were soliciting prostitutes.
Man, they probably thought they were down there before the president.
Maybe. President hasn't arrived yet. I think he was due to arrive Friday or one of these days. But he wasn't there yet. So those guys are down there, I guess letting nature take its course. But you're a Secret Service agent. Don't you have to...
Yeah, but they're supposed to have fun.
Well, yeah, they can have fun. I think prostitution's probably illegal in Colombia too, bud. And they can have fun, but you got to have fun above the radar, man. Or, excuse me, below the radar. You can't have so much fun that you're drawing attention to yourself or getting arrested. Let's see. The one official said the Secret Service often over-visas for the foreign trips, bringing along more personnel than protocol dictates in the event someone gets sick or becomes incapacitated. The matter's being handled by the Secret Service's Office of Professional Responsibility, which is its Internal Affairs Division. Although Colombia does permit prostitution in certain tolerance areas, its solicitation would be considered inappropriate at all times by the Secret Service. No kidding.
Yeah, if it's legal.
It doesn't matter. It's not something that you want your Secret Service agents to do.
But why can't they have it legal?
Because it's the standard of the Secret Service. In other words, you're a member of a service. You're a member of any organization. Anyone has the right to dictate certain behavior of their people. If you don't like it, you don't have to work for us. See?
What about that lady to want to be a Muslim at Disneyland?
What? The lady that wanted to be a Muslim at... What are you talking about?
Lady that wanted to wear a scarf.
Disneyland decided that they'd work with her. Disneyland didn't have to have her working there, but they were threatened with a religious intolerance lawsuit, which they probably thought they were going to lose.
That's what these guys can do.
No, what are you... Are you an idiot or something? They're going to sue the Secret Service for religious intolerance because they can't solicit prostitutes?
Well, they could claim like a religion or something.
Only if they're morons like you guys. The Secret Service of the United States of America, which is, among other things, tasked with protecting the President of the United States, does not allow its agents to solicit prostitutes, whether it's legal or not. The reason being twofold. Number one, they don't want any behavior that might actually jeopardize the safety of the president. And number two, they represent the American people abroad. They represent our government, our people, our country, and should conduct themselves as gentlemen.
I can't say nothing to that.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's right.
Maybe you ought to run the Secret Service.
Maybe I ought to. And maybe I shouldn't, which is more the answer that I would give. That's why they do it. I don't give a damn if it's legal or not. You say to the guy, oh, that's really nice, it's legal. Yes, sir. Well, guess what? You're fired anyway. Your ass is running around with prostitutes. You're down here making preparations for the visit of the President of the United States, okay? We've had four of them killed already. And I don't know how many, maybe two or three others shot. So, you know, that's four too many. So you guys, keep your eye on the ball, keep your freaking crap together, and do your job.
Now, they're probably giving some vacation time.
Even if they're given hours off, which I'm sure they are, I'm sure they've got, you know, they can go and have a drink, they can lay on the beach, whatever the hell they want to do. Several of the agents involved in the incident are married. Secret Service agents have the responsibility of providing protection for the president at home and while he travels. Mr. Donovan, who's a spokesperson for the Secret Service, said that the President Obama's safety was never in danger. I don't think he wasn't there. These personnel changes will not affect the comprehensive security plans that have been prepared in advance of the president's trip. The administration had been trumpeting the progress in Latin America toward improving governance, with particular emphasis on the host country, and Obama hopes to promote the cause. So there you go. So that's why they do that, man. And, you know, you don't want to mess around with that.
They're like they had a Secret Service anyway.
I don't know. They've had the Secret Service since the 19th century, but the actual job of protecting the president, I don't think was given to the Secret Service until well after the Secret Service was formed. Now, one of the other jobs they have is counterfeiting. They are the primary enforcement arm when it comes to, you know, enforcing the counterfeit currency laws. Now, that's, you know, would be generally the Treasury Department, but the Secret Service is also in charge of that.
That's what I saw that one movie with Clint Eastwood, man. Remember that? They put the bag on a guy's head. Oh, yeah, that movie rocked.
What are you guys talking about? In the Line of Fire?
Yeah, the Line of Fire.
Yeah, that's about the Secret Service. Remember they were, you know, they put the bag on the guy's head, like you're saying, bud.
Yeah, they did put a bag on the guy's head, almost killed him, and then Clint Eastwood blew the guy away, waved the gun, he goes, yeah, there's not enough bullets.
Well, he didn't say it, man. That's what they're thinking.
Okay, great. We can go through the whole movie later on. Have a great weekend, you guys. And join us again Monday night. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're online at philhenryshow.com. All of our merchandise. Get yourself a hat. Get yourself a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, baby. Get a Bobby Dooley keychain. But get it while the getting's good, man. And a backstage pass. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and yours truly, Phil Henry. Until Monday night, have a beautiful weekend. And Tuesday...
yeah, go to that rap party.
Maybe. Maybe we're going to the NTSF rap party. We'll see. Have a great weekend, guys. Stay safe, everybody. See you Monday.
Phil Hendry.